Our next speaker is Tracy Finlayson. She's going to be presenting on Boca Sana, Cuerpo Sano, Healthy Body, Healthy Mouth, Healthy Body, a community-based participatory research oral health project.
Thank you, everyone. And my talk today will really focus on the community-based participatory research process of developing a lay community health worker oral health program for Mexican migrant families. I have no relationships to disclose. I do want to start with acknowledging and talking about the roles of all of my collaborative partners. I worked with another individual, Lisa Hoffman, at the San Diego Prevention Research Center, and we were the science research evaluation side of this project. The lead agency was Vista Community Clinic, a migrant health center and federally qualified health center. I worked primarily with Ana Pula Muzurfas, who is their migrant health program manager, and another health educator, Martha Gonzalez, and their chief promotion officer, health promotion officer, Nanette Stam. There was already an existing network. Vista Community Clinic had about a 10-year history of already collaborating with Community Housing Works. Our main partner there was Maria Isabel Rocha, and also working with the National Latino Research Center, which is housed in the CSU, the California State University, San Marcos. So these three communities all already had an existing network of community health workers. And in these communities, they prefer the term líderes comunitarios, community leaders, because they felt that their role expanded beyond just health work, and they were very, very actively involved and civically engaged already in work since the 2007 fires in San Diego County, and they had been involved in disaster preparedness and other efforts to help promote the needs of their community. So we all joined efforts to come together to work on this particular project. And what we tell our community is, well, it's community-based, which means that we want the communities directly involved in all aspects of this project. We want them to really take ownership and take the lead. This was funded by DentaQuest Foundation. They specifically put out a call for CBPR, community-based participatory research, through the National Community Committee and Oral Health Initiative. So we had one really broad goal in coming together, and that was to engage the community in reducing oral health disparities. Our target population were Mexican migrants. Just we partnered with those particular communities in North San Diego County that were working in those areas already. And today I'm only going to focus on one aspect, which was the development and evaluation of the Líderes-led oral health promotion program. We primarily developed an educational series, but we had several other activities as part of this larger project that the community named Boca Sana, Cuerpo Sano. These are the three communities that we worked in North San Diego County. So as you can see, here's the U.S.-Mexico border. This is about 2 hours north. Vista Community Clinic was the lead agency. This is Vista. They have several community clinics. This is a much more urban setting with better access to care. Further north is Fallbrook, much more rural. And in this region, it really encompasses several different smaller communities. We've been referring to it primarily as Pala, Rainbow, Palma. It really is unique in that surrounding this community, Valley Center, Palma Valley, there's three Indian reservations around this community that we were working in. So there were especially unique challenges to access to services and working in that community beyond just it being a rural setting. So there are clearly very unique challenges and unique characteristics of each of these three communities that we were working in. In some of the locations, we had fewer access to community buildings to even gather. So primarily in this region, we were telling folks, okay, go meet at this street corner, because then we're going to meet on the corner of this person's home where they have a gathering space for quinceañeras. There's no other gathering spaces like community libraries, other places. In most of the other communities, we were either working in or meeting in the Community Housing Works spaces and their meeting spaces, the library, firehouse, other places like that. Vista Community Clinic is a migrant health clinic, and so there is a very specific and narrow federal definition for who they serve, and that focuses on farm workers. But we really, for this project, wanted to look more broadly and serve more in the community. So although we did include farm workers, you can see several other migrants were included as well, migrant workers, day laborers, hotel workers, gardeners, and those types of individuals, because really we felt that they shared a lot of common characteristics. A lot of them lived a very highly mobile lifestyle. They were hard to reach. They had impermanent housing in some of our more rural communities. They really were living multiple families in non-permanent shelters. They had a lot of economic insecurity and were isolated from a lot of other social services, health services, and broader society, and were exposed constantly on a daily basis to several different types of environmental hazards. So I'm primarily, again, just talking about our planning year activities. And so we had a kickoff meeting with the Lures, and we asked them, what's important to you about oral health? What do your communities really need to know to get other people excited about oral health and to make improvements? And they named the project. They said, you know, we don't place enough importance on oral health. We need to bring that back to being connected to the body. So our logo really kind of captures that as well. We've got the person being part of the tooth. And the pieces that go into the community participation and formation of our project, what I'll talk about today, are the community advisory boards that were already existing that gave us a lot of input. We reviewed existing oral health criteria. We didn't want to have to reinvent the wheel if we didn't have to. We conducted several key informant surveys and interviews. We held community focus groups, and we got a lot of input from the leaders directly. So we were very lucky in our county that there were already two strong existing coalitions, the Farm Worker Care Coalition. They met monthly. Vista Community Clinic hosted and organized a lot of those meetings, and in addition to our key primary partners in the project, a lot of social services, legal assistance, several other community-based organizations are already part of this coalition, and they primarily focused on coordination, communication, advocacy and access, research and resources, empowerment and education around serving the migrant families. But they didn't really focus on health specifically or exclusively or oral health. And the North County Dental Task Force was one of the existing regional task force. In the county, we already had a dental health coalition, and they met quarterly. I was already an advisory member on that board. But that coalition really only captured the dental providers. So we saw Head Starts, the San Diego County Dental Society, Hygiene Society, and those types of providers were part of that coalition. And so our project really brought those two groups together, and we had the support of 20 other community partners. And we went to them, presented at their meetings, and they gave us input about what to cover in our curriculum for this program. Then we went to the literature, and we did an extensive review of a lot of different California national farm worker existing resources in oral health. The first two that the county developed were wonderful resources, but written at a very high literacy level, and not as many resources were available in Spanish, but we did draw a lot of information from those resources. The next two, What to Do for Healthy Teeth and Healthy Smiles, these were written at a much more lower literacy level, were available in English and Spanish. We drew a lot from those resources. The UCSF Project Contra Caries, many of you may have heard my co-panelist Kristen Huff's presentation in past years. We were given permission to use some of that curriculum material. There was also another one for health providers. These were great resources as well, but focused on parents and of caregivers of 0 to 5-year-old children primarily, so we were missing a lot of the rest of the lifespan. We also looked at where there's no dentist, and we referred to one of the fluoride varnish program planning manuals. There are a lot of good resources to start with, and then we cataloged all of those. We looked at all of the different hands-on activities, the topics those curricula covered, and then we sent that information out to the key informants, so primarily a lot of the leaders in both of those existing coalitions, North County Dental Task Force and the Farm Worker Care Coalition. We got a great response rate, especially around the holidays. This was around November, December, and it was a short survey monkey, 15 questions, and we asked them to please just rank the different topics and target population group that we should focus on. And we also wanted to assess community needs, assets, and barriers. What was already existing for oral health where were the greatest needs. We did a few follow-up interviews as well. All of the interviewees agreed that we should focus on adults as the target population group. One last comment here. There was a lot of also ethical discussion in the community about, well, should we emphasize adults when there's no services? Want to add a piece of context that in the state of California, for those of you that don't know, at this time, the state had dropped optional adult Medicaid dental benefits. So there was a lot of worry and concern that if we had a project that focused on adults, we would be raising up their expectations and getting them excited about oral health, and they would have nowhere to go for services and assistance. So we ended up broadening our focus to families. These were some of the different topics that there was existing curricula. These were the top 10 ranked most important. Ultimately, we did include virtually all of these in the final product. Our assessment of community assets and barriers. There were several assets not known to everyone in the area. And so this has been a resource just to share what else exists that others can use, and the community has used this report. The top three barriers aren't a big surprise, but lack of ability to pay for care, lack of insurance were major problems, but also not knowing if they were eligible for certain services and programs was also seen as a problem. Next, we conducted community focus groups. We took some of the same questions about asking who should we focus on for this project? What are the main barriers to care and services? What do you think about oral health? And since we were working in three communities, we did three sets of groups with the leaders in each of those three communities, and we did groups with community members. So anyone who self-identified as a Mexican migrant caregiver was able to participate, and we asked them directly about their experiences. So I've listed some of the barriers here. There were, again, some differences, but a lot of commonalities, and they raised cultural competency issues quite frequently, several unmet dental needs, and the expense and bad past experiences. We also asked, what would make this program successful and feasible in your community? In the past, all of our leaders had been involved in health promotion projects around disaster preparedness and HIV, but all of those health education activities have been one-time deal, no evaluation. So we were going to ask them to do quite a bit more to cover more topics in oral health. So we took all of that input, and then we drafted a curriculum building on the existing resources. What also came out as very important in our various interviews and surveys and focus groups was that we had to do something to really address poverty more directly. And there was a sense that a lot of individuals sort of knew that there were things that they should do to take care of their oral health. They know that they should brush and things like that twice a day, but we wanted to really emphasize some behavioral alternatives and give them some more strategies about other things they could do to really clean their mouth and teeth and focus on giving them more hands-on skills and encouragement, as well as addressing more of the knowledge aspect as well. So we drafted materials. We had two dentists review it for accuracy, and then we took it back to the community leaders, and we asked them to give us input. We had to split it up into two sessions to do that, but they had the final say. They told us, oh, no, we don't like these images. We do like this. You need to show us a mixture of simple diagrams and pictures plus real photos of people in the community, of teeth. And so they had the final say about what this curriculum looked like, what content it covered, what they wanted more information about or less information. We also had some input about the different preferred teaching methods, content, materials, effectiveness. We asked all of those questions at this stage. So at the end of our planning year, we ultimately produced for the community that report that summarized here's existing resources, assets, needs, and barriers. We had developed a training curriculum in English and in Spanish that had details about how to conduct the whole program. For the educational program itself, we developed a set in English and in Spanish, colorful flip charts with visuals with very limited words on most of them, models, demonstrations, hands-on activities, and goals and barrier worksheets for the families. Evaluation tools, that's my side, the surveys in English and in Spanish. And also a logic model plan for the two-year program. So while we were funded by DentaQuest for this planning year, we also had to compete successfully for implementation funds. And we were lucky to be one of the three communities that had planning year funds to actually implement our project, which was also another, given that this was CBPR, another point of conversation in our communities that, well, what if they didn't fund us to implement? That would have really, we had a lot of ethical conversations about, is it okay to raise a community's expectations and get them to have ownership of this kind of project and then pull the rug out from underneath and say, oh, sorry, we're not going to fund this. But we were funded, and we had several different goals, not just the educational program that I'll speak about, that I've been speaking about, but we had a broad goal of increasing oral health literacy. The leaders-led educational program was one component. We also have a few other goals that focus directly on dental providers, and I'd be happy to speak about that one-on-one or later. We have a goal of reducing barriers to dental care and other strategies for engaging the community as part of our broader two-year plan, which we're about halfway through the two-year implementation at this point. I want to show you some pictures of what our final curricula ended up looking like. We have the leader's training manual, and we conducted several days of trainings. They did 3 2-day sessions between November, December, January, and February earlier this year. We have our logo on the purple shirts. The two ladies in purple are two of our leaders. The final design of the actual program itself, we were hoping to reach 180 families total across those three different communities in San Diego. We ultimately developed a 5-week program where the leaders led the classes in working in pairs. They would meet once a week for about 2 hours. Again, here's the three communities. Our requirement was just one enrolled caregiver, but everyone in the family was welcome. We would enroll that individual. We collected some baseline and immediate end of program measures, and we'll be following up with the families at 3 months and 6 months. We're collecting self-reported knowledge, attitude, and behavior measures for the enrolled primary caregiver, as well as one select study child in the family. So again, everything was color-coded. Our first class was on tooth decay and the bacteria process. We really wanted to make sure that we included the reason that people develop decay and that explanation. Most of them know some of what you're supposed to do to take care of your teeth, but they didn't understand the full process. We wanted to make sure that was included. Our second class was on oral hygiene. Again, a lot of hands-on demonstrations, tips for how do you work with small children and clean their mouth, a lot of behavioral alternatives. Okay, you don't have a toothbrush, can you do something? And empowerment and trying to motivate engagement in other kinds of behaviors that would still promote cleaning the mouth regularly. We had, again, activities with each of these sessions, and we had black floss for the demos. The next session was on nutrition, and we utilized the Rethink Your Drink curriculum that was available statewide and had lessons about reading the sugar content on labels and measuring out sugar. We also did definitely address the timing frequency issues as well. Periodontal disease, this was one area that even after the trainings, these were the only questions that the leaders still stumbled over. There's just so little dialogue. Even saying the words periodontal disease or gum disease are so foreign. This was the session that the leaders needed additional training and support for, and where they wanted even more information than what we packed in to this particular lesson. And then finally, our last session was about dental treatments and services and when do you need to go see the dentist? What happens when you go there? What are your rights as a patient? And we were able to send out the eligibility screeners to see if they were able to qualify for other existing programs and treatments and facilitated referrals and handed out reference sheets for other services. At the end of that session, we also gave them a completion certificate, and some of the other things they did were engage in games, bingo. We had a puzzle that kind of brought everything back together. We ultimately had 10 key messages and wanted to, again, emphasize the importance of oral health and connection to the rest of the body. So you can see here's what the size of some of the actual flip charts looked like. They wanted everything very low-tech, and portable, so all of their talking points were on the back of all of these visuals. This is the final day. We had a puzzle, and just revisited what all of the messages and lessons were from each of the classes. We had a very good showing amongst all the families. A lot of dads, aunts, grandmas, and kids attended. In addition to the completion certificate, they completed our survey. We also had goodies at all of the classes, so toothbrushes, mirrors, floss. We also hosted, we will be hosting a fluoride varnish clinic once all of the classes are done. We're finishing up our last rounds of classes now. And under California law AB 667, you can train promotores and other community health workers to apply fluoride varnish. We were able to get a prescription from the dentist at the community health clinic. So the leaders have completed that training, and we'll be holding those clinics next year for participants. There's already also an existing health service day for the uninsured in one of our communities. Currently, that event happens twice a year, so we make sure that our participant families can attend if they want to, and we send them reminders and try to make sure that they get the services that they need, but dental is always very limited in those cases. And another goal of our project is to work with other foundations to increase this event to 4 times a year. And so ultimately, in sum, I want to just mention that given the CBPR process, having the community being fully engaged in all stages, we were able to develop messages, images, products, and a program that they really took ownership of that really was directed by what they wanted to know and was packaged and presented in a way that was going to be usable in the community, addressing their needs and their the information that they wanted. We also included multiple community stakeholders that serve this community, and implementation is going well. And hopefully I'll be back next year giving you more of the results, the preliminary findings so far. We've got about half of the data cleaned and entered on the first 100 families, and we are seeing a lot of improvements in knowledge, attitude, and behavior change. So this is the final slide. This link has a broader description of the whole program, because there's other aspects besides our educational program, and this is one of the stickers that we've developed as well. So thank you very much for your time and attention.